Father, we just want to thank you for this night. We just thank you, Lord, for how you blessed us in music already. Father, I just pray that each heart would be open and be sensitive to your precious Holy Spirit as Gary brings forth your word with power and with might. Father, open our ears and open our hearts and open our minds so that we might understand the truth that will come forth tonight. Father, just bless these people in Jesus' name. Amen.
And all the amen. All the people said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I really did pray today about this message tonight. You know, one of the things that the Lord said in that prophecy a few weeks ago, He said that everything that we've taught here for the last 2 years has been milk. You know, and He says, you haven't even tasted meat yet. So I look back at some of that, you know, and I go, Lord, that's milk. You know? I mean, a lot of it is basic stuff, you know. And I've been praying about that, praying, you know. And now, what he's wanting to do, I can tell you now about this year and how he's changing things a little bit. We've primarily taught principles and how the kingdom works, you know, things like sowing and reaping. And if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And you have to walk in forgiveness. You have, you know, things like that. And we kind of skirted all around the issue, and we mentioned Jesus all the time, and of course Jesus is Lord and everything, but what He's really doing now this year, what He's wanting to do now, is for each and every person here and every person that hears these tapes, Jesus Himself, everyone say, Jesus Himself.
Jesus Himself.
You know, the one who's alive. You know, you don't know, don't confess. Boy, these people are so eager. You know? The one who's alive. He wants to develop more of a relationship with you personally. And it's just like that song, Tony. You say one of the lines said, I used to know about Him. See, I used to know about Him. Well, it's good to know about Jesus. It's better to know Jesus. It's better to know Him. I was listening today to Brother Dinikaran, one of his tapes, and he was talking about a time when William Branham, does anyone here not know who William Branham was? He's passed on now. He was a great prophet of God in the 40s, mightily used, very humble man, never put on any airs, always stayed pretty humble, you know, and everything, didn't dress extravagantly or anything like that. And he was holding a mighty meeting, I believe the man said, in South Africa, and signs and wonders were happening, miracles were happening and things, you know. But there's always skeptics, no matter what's going on. And Branham was teaching a pretty strong message one night. And this man from the crowd, he just stood up and interrupted right in the middle of the message. And he says, by whose authority do you say these things? You know? And Branham never missed a beat. He says, by the authority of Jesus Christ, sir, whom you do not know. And boy, I mean, the guy sat down. And that was the end of that. Word of wisdom. You know, Jesus said, don't ever worry, you know, about what you're going to say when they bring you before the persecutors. He says that my Father by His Spirit will show you in that very hour what to say. And boy, is that not true. Well, we don't want it to be said of us, if William Branham was here tonight, Jesus, whom you do not know. Each and every one of us, I know that you all know Him. I know every person in this room is born again. I know Him to some degree. I want to know Him better. Even Paul, as well as Paul knew Him, when he wrote his letter to the Philippians, he says, my goal now is to know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Well, the Lord wants us to know Him. Leading right into tonight's lesson, if you'll open, look at the lesson page, the title is, Sue, do you have one? We've got some here.
Can I say something I'm thankful for?
Sure.
My dad got me this necklace.
Well, hallelujah.
And I think it's got something to do with Christmas.
Yes, it does. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. That's neat.
What's that mean?
What do you call this? I don't even know what you call these. Yeah, it's a St. Christopher medal. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, good. Good. Okay, tonight's lesson is Understanding What the Will of the Lord Is. And I got that title, of course, from Ephesians 5:17. See, we'll read the verse. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Everyone in here, I'm sure I could just get a show of hands. How many of you would like to understand better what the will of the Lord is for your personal individual life? Hallelujah. Me too. Me too. Donna tonight was asking me on the way up here. She said, would you pray? You know, she's got some decisions to make. I'm not sure whether to go this way or go that way. Well, that's what tonight's lesson is about. Okay? Now, you could take that same verse and just say it a different way. You could say it this way. Say, the wise person understands what the will of the Lord is. Same thing. But now, to begin truly discerning the will of the Lord for your life, you must understand that there are two kingdoms on earth, and both of them are trying to influence you. Colossians 1:13, talking about Jesus, said, who has delivered us from the power, and that's the Greek word exousia, and it means authority, or you could say kingdom of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now see, Satan, see, you got two kingdoms there. They got the authority of darkness, that's Satan and all of his side, trying to influence your life one way. Then you've got God and the angels and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost in the kingdom of his dear Son. And they're all trying to influence you along the path of life. Hallelujah. Well, Satan and his powers of darkness are trying to get you to follow his plan for your life. Do we have one more set of those? Okay. It's going to be hard for you to follow along without one of those, isn't it? I'm sorry I missed you a while ago. Hallelujah. Satan and his powers of darkness are trying to get you to follow his plan for your life. Satan's plan for your life is destruction, described in three parts. The first half of John 10:10 says, the thief, speaking of Satan, comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. If we had time tonight, I could go person by person in this room, and every person in here could give me testimony. Before they got saved, and since they got saved, about how the devil, one way or another, has tried to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Isn't that true? As Pastor Dave says, now I don't do it very well. That's all he does. His light's gone out. He doesn't do anything else. He's not good at anything else. And if you misjudge him, he'll kill you. Well, that's because that's what he does. That's all he does. Steals, kill, and destroy. But he does it all through deception, you guys. He really has no power over you. He only is able to do any of those things by getting you to disbelieve the Word of God. Hallelujah. Everything in Satan's kingdom is designed to steal, kill, and destroy you. But Jesus has come. Now here's the second half of John 10:10. I am come, Jesus says, that they might have life. Glory to God. And that they might have it more abundantly. Everything about the kingdom of God's dear Son is designed to bring you life. And Jesus didn't just say life, Andy, he said abundant life. Hallelujah. Jesus came for the express purpose of stopping the thief, Satan, from being able to destroy you. Now here's a real, when people ask you, why does Jesus come to the earth? By the way, I'll take a diversion here for a minute. When I was still driving the trucks for Crane Carrier, I remember where I was. I had just pulled in to the Heil Company at Fort Payne, Alabama. I happened to be on that trip by myself. Mike knows how it is. You get there in the evening. And I was tired, but I went ahead and disconnected all of the air hose lines and hooked up the drive shafts and did all of that preparatory stuff that we do. And boy, I was tired when I got done with that. It was getting pretty late. It was about midnight. And I got in the cab of that truck, and I started to fall asleep. And the Holy Ghost said to me, he asked me a question. He said, why did Jesus come? And I started answering with my standard answers, you know. Well, Jesus come so that we could all be saved. Silence. I didn't get any response back from the Holy Spirit. So I knew that wasn't exactly what he was looking for. And I went, well, he came to pay the price for the sin of Adam so that people don't have to go to hell. And we could be born again and go to heaven. Silence. Silence again. Then he brought this verse. I heard this verse as clearly as if Mike or Andy or anyone had been in the cab of that truck and said it to me. And this is the verse, Colossians. I lost it. No, I'm sorry, 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. This is why he came. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. You all right? Hallelujah. Now, get it straight. All that stuff that the devil was able to do from the fall of Adam to the cross. Destroying people, murdering, getting people to murder each other, every kind of sin, sickness, disease, hate, wars, everything. All of that, that Satan was using to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came, He was manifested for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil. Well, that's a good place right there to shout amen. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Now everyone say this after me. Jesus has come. Specifically. To destroy. The works of the devil. In my life. Satan cannot steal from me. He cannot destroy me. And he cannot kill me. In Jesus' name. I've been delivered. From the authority of darkness. And I do not fear death. Jesus has brought me life, and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. You do that for about an hour, you start having one of them running fits. One of them old South Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma running fits. Now you just take out through the cornfield until you can't run no more. Glory, jump up in a chair like I did one night here. Glory to God, preach myself happy already. You are wise when you come to understand. That you now see, the verse we started with says, "Be not unwise." How about we put it this way? Don't be stupid. Quit being stupid. Understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that the devil's never able to touch you again. Can't steal from you, he can't kill you, and he certainly cannot destroy you. Glory to God. Now by the end of this message, you're gonna be going, "Now wait a minute." Because we're going to get into a little hamburger tonight. We may not be on strong meat, but we're going to get a little hamburger tonight, okay? Hallelujah. No, not exactly soybean burgers. A little tofu. No, okay. You are wise when you come to understand that you have been set free from all the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. Glory to God, that's good news. Accept none, A-C-C-E-P-T, none of his destruction in your life. Now, most Christians do accept them because they're unwise. And the reason they're unwise, if you want to know the truth, they've had bad teachers. I'll just tell you the truth. We've had a lot of help being unwise. That's why I say, I don't care who says it. I don't care if it's Kenneth. I mean, I've been lied to by a lot of preachers growing up. I just have. Not that they intentionally did it. They believed what they were preaching. But just because they were sincere, they were also sincerely wrong. See? So I don't care who preaches it anymore. Kenneth Hagin, Dave Roberson, who it is. To Gary Carpenter, it's not Scripture till I find it. Till the Holy Ghost makes it rhema to me in my Bible. Then it's Scripture. Okay? Then I'll act on it. Okay? I advise that. Don't y'all... I always tell people all the time, that's one reason I give you these handouts. It's got all those Scriptures. Go home, get your Bible out, dig them out. Don't you believe stuff just because I told you. I may be lying to you, you know? I may not be meaning to, but I may be, see? Check it out in your own Bible. Let the Holy... Pray in those other tongues till the Holy Ghost comes. And says, "Yeah, Gary was right." And then you go, "Okay, he was right." That's what he'll tell you every time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be wise and understand that the will of the Lord is for you to be free from everything Jesus paid the price for, including all the threefold curse of the law. He redeemed, see, the law, the curse of the law was threefold: spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. And be honest with you, physical death was in there too, because if you didn't keep the law, they'd stone you. But it included all three: death, sickness, and poverty. The Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Do you know it never says he redeemed us from the blessings? All of the blessings of the law belong to us. Do you know how you fulfill that law in the new covenant? The whole law is fulfilled in this one statement: thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and love thy neighbor as thyself. You learn to walk in love. If I walk in love towards Pat, I'm not going to steal her car. You know? If I walk in love towards Andy, I'm not going to be flirting with his wife. See what I'm saying? You walk in love towards people, you're not going to be coveting their stuff. You're not going to be saying, you're not going to be lying to them. You're not going to be stealing from them. That's how you fulfill the law. You walk in love. And the more you spend time, as the song said, the more you spend time with the Holy Ghost, God is love. You know you become like who you hang around? If you don't believe that, start driving trucks for Crane Carrier and turn your CB on Channel 19 for about a month. And at the end of that month, you'll be cussing like a sailor. Because you become like who you run with. And I'm telling you, don't deny it. It's just continual, continual, continual all day long. You know, that old saying is a computer saying, but it applies. Garbage in, garbage out. And you won't even realize it's happening to you. You won't even realize it. It won't be long, you'll be talking just like them. And somebody will have to say, boy, did you hear what you said? And you go, no. They'll have to point it out to you. Well, I said that to say this. You run with God, you want to walk in more love? Run with Him who is love. Spend time with the Holy Ghost. God is love, the Bible says. You spend time with Him and run with Him, you start walking in more love. You won't want to hurt nobody. You know? Hallelujah. That's free. There's no extra charge for that. Hallelujah. Okay, we're talking about the curse of the law, sickness, poverty, and death. When the kingdom of darkness tries to enforce sickness and poverty on you and your family, now that's the time to be wise. Understand the will of the Lord regarding these things and resist them. These things are not God's will for your life. Say this with me. Death, sickness, and poverty are not God's will for my life. I am at least that wise. Okay? Now here's the thing. The second half of this page, what we're going to talk about now. Most people have it exactly backwards. When sickness comes and they don't know why, still yet in the back of their mind, they kind of halfway think, well, you know, I haven't done this exactly. You know, maybe this is God's way of kind of correcting me. And they'll, you know, poverty be the same way. Suddenly you get laid off and, well, you know, maybe God's hand is in this. Normally, no. I'd say 99.9% of the time, no. There are exceptions. But people will start taking that stuff and not even really resisting it because they're not completely convinced. They're not really real wise about why Jesus came. And the thing of it is, those same people, now when it does come to finding out what the will of the Lord is for their real life, for their life, like Donna was asking me, you don't mind me saying, I'm not real sure if it's God's will for me to stay with the job I've got, to look for a different job, or to spend my time just praying right now. That'd probably be about the three options, right? Well, we're going to talk about those kind of decisions. All right? I was driving trucks, praying in other tongues, and I didn't really know what God wanted for my life. I didn't really know. Do you want me to keep driving the trucks? I got an engineering degree. Do you want me to go back and get my master's or something? I didn't know what He wanted me to do. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about now. But most people have it exactly backwards. The stuff that Satan tries to impose on your life, they'll just kind of not resist that. Lay there sick, broke, poor, you know, and their head sore. You know? But then they don't spend time. I mean, all of the main decisions for their life, they don't seek God to find out what He says. They just make their own decisions. All right. With that, we'll get back into the lesson here. However, most people just accept these things in their life. I'm talking about things like sickness, poverty, depression, all that kind of stuff. At least half believing that they just might be the will of God. Yet when it comes to submitting to the actual will of God for their lives, they never spend any time to find out. When it comes to most Christians' plan for their own lives, they pretty much leave out any leadership of the Spirit. Now here it is, in America anyway. Most people make major decisions in their life based on what is financially best for them. Can I get a witness on that? Normal, average American person, don't they make their decisions based on what's financially best? And I gave this example. I mean, we congratulate most people that this happened to. If they were offered a $10,000 raise, say they were working for some company, and they said, hey, we've got a position open in Omaha. You know, I know you're here in Tulsa working for us, but we've got a branch office in Omaha. And say they come to Sean and they say, you know, what you're doing here is good and we appreciate it. You're doing a good job. We've got an opening in our company in Omaha. And if you'll just move to Omaha and work for us there, we'll give you a $10,000 a year raise. Now, most people, I mean, that decision is made. As soon as the offer came, the decision is made. There's no seeking God. There's no nothing. Omaha, here I come. Amen? That's the way most of Christianity, and I'm talking about Spirit-filled Christian people, that's the way they operate. Okay? If they were offered a $10,000 raise in pay by moving to Omaha, and I don't have nothing against Omaha, I just picked a city. Yeah. They usually make immediate plans to uproot their family and move, never seeking the mind of the Lord concerning it at all. Now here's a statement. This is evil. That's evil. That kind of operation. Who is Lord? Here we have a Lord check. Who is Lord?
Jesus.
Who? You know, the Bible says you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. But we act like it all the time. Omaha, 10,000. I'm moving, then I'll check with the Lord about it. No, it doesn't work that way. Look, when I say this is evil, I said it because that's what the Apostle James said. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. He says, "Go to now, you that say, well, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, and we'll continue there a year and buy and sell, and we'll get gain, or we'll make a profit. Whereas you don't know, or you know not, what shall be on tomorrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live." Now that's quite a statement. See how I underline that? We'll talk about that in a minute. "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." Now here's what I mean when I say most people have this exactly backwards. The kind of church I was raised in, and most traditional churches, if you get sick, they will come and pray something like this. I mean, everyone, even the church I grew up in, they believe God can heal. They just wasn't always sure it was His will. So they'd come and say, "Well, now, Andy, if you're sick, we'll gather around here and we'll pray for you, okay?" And you say, "Yeah." And I say, "Father, we just ask you, if it be thy will, heal Andy of this sickness." Now, see, how nice can I be, Lord? Not very. That's stupid. That kind of praying means you have no understanding of why Jesus came. See, when He says to pray His will, He's not talking about sickness. Is He here? Is He talking about sickness? What's He talking about? Life decisions. Your lifetime decisions. Lord, what do You want me to be? Where do You want me to live? What do You want me to be in life, Lord? You want me to be a preacher? You want me to be a housewife and raise godly children? I mean, God calls people to do that all the time. Do You want me to be a fireman? Spirit-filled fireman, glory to God, to save and rescue people from fires, you know. But that's... Now, isn't that the kind of thing James is talking about? Lord, what city do You want me to live in? What city do You want me to live in? What kind of business do You want me to be involved in? Do You want me to be involved in business at all? People don't pray that. And that's where you're supposed to pray, if it be thy will. Now, on the next page, we're going to talk about, because James said, pray this way, if the Lord will, my Oklahoma accent, if the Lord will, we shall live. Now, we'll talk about that on the next page. That's becoming Lord conscious. Lord, if it's Your will, I'll live tomorrow. Now, what do You want me to do if I live tomorrow? Now, Lord, the connotation is, Lord, now, if it's Your will that I die for You tomorrow, I'm ready for that too. Yeah, yeah. But see, how many people have that kind of thinking? Not very many. I told you we're going to get on a little hamburger tonight. Hallelujah. At least a little bit of ground beef, you know. James is saying financial gain is not sufficient evidence to determine the will of God for your life. Let me just put it this way. I don't know what else to do except use mine and Sue's life as an example. I was just like everybody else most of my life. My major decisions were based on what was best for me and my family. Financially, pretty much. I mean, I chose to be an engineer because they make pretty good money. And I kind of liked it. I thought. So that's why I chose that. See? Well, I'm going to be an engineer. They make good money. You know? And then later on, circumstances changed where I needed to go into business with my dad, so I became a construction. We had a concrete business here in town for years, and I did that for a while. Then opportunity came along to be a real estate agent, and to be perfectly honest with you, we chose that because the money looked pretty good. Okay? So what I'm saying is my pattern was no different than yours. After praying for 2 years in the Holy Ghost, and the Lord comes, and He says, "Son, it's not my will that you ever hold a secular job again the longest day you live. I want you full-time, son. and I want you in the ministry. Well, let me ask you. If somebody walked through that door right now, or if the phone rang, and it was somebody that I knew from my college days, and says, I've been trying to find you. We have an opening for an industrial engineer in Omaha that I think you'd be perfect for. All you got to do is be up here next, you know, come up here next Wednesday, and we'll put you to work at $75,000 a year. Quiet in here. I wouldn't give it a second thought. Absolutely no. Why? I've already heard his voice. He's already told me, son, it's not my will that you ever hold a secular job again the longest day you live. That option is out for me. You could offer me $175,000. It wouldn't make any difference. $500,000. It wouldn't make any difference. I know what the Lord said. Well, I wouldn't, you know, that person wouldn't, Sue said, I rebuke you. I wouldn't rebuke that person because, you know, they wouldn't even know they were being a tool of the devil. See, they wouldn't know it, you know. That kind of thing happens all the time. What was interesting, during that period of time, you know, once we made the decision to obey the Lord and go full time, that I did get a couple of pretty good offers. A man that I had worked for at the Corps of Engineers called me and said that they had an opening. That wasn't $75,000. I think he said it was about $50,000 a year, though, which was more than I had been making driving trucks. But I already knew. Boy, that was, I hadn't been walking in this very long. I thought about that one for a few days. But what could I do? I had to go back and remember what did God say? What did He say? He said, "Son, it's not my will that you ever hold a secular job again the longest day you live." Okay, do you understand? We don't make decisions anymore based on the finances. We make our decisions based on what does the Lord say in prayer. That's all. That's it. Okay? Now, people have the process exactly. Okay, let me back up. James, in that passage, is saying, people, financial gain is not sufficient evidence to determine the will of God for your life. People have the process exactly backwards. They are iron-willed when it comes to keeping control of the direction of their own lives. Yet they never become iron-willed to resist the works of the devil when he comes knocking at their door with sickness, disease, and poverty. Now let me stop for a minute. That example I gave a while ago. You don't come to Andy if he's sick and then pray some stupid prayer like, if it be thy will, please heal Andy. I mean, Jesus, you know, he'd hear a prayer like that. He'd kind of, you know, he's sitting at the right hand of majesty. He'd kind of look over his shoulder at those scars on his back where he took those stripes. If it be my will, I bore these stripes to stop the works of the devil so that the devil could not come to Andy's house with sickness. And you're praying, if it be my will, you get the Lord mad. I mean, that's a stupid prayer. Don't ever pray that again the longest day you live. Don't pray like that. Yes, it's His will. That's what I mean. Become iron-willed when it comes to the works of the devil. Anything that Jesus redeemed you from, you don't have to pray if it be thy will. Sickness, He's against that. Poverty, He's against that. Depression, anger, I don't know, messed up family, divorce, all that stuff, that's the works of the devil that He came to stop. You don't even have to pray if it be His will. Dear God, He took those stripes on His back for you to be sick? He was stripped naked of every earthly possession with them casting lots at the foot of the cross, bearing the curse of poverty for you in order for you not to get your needs met? You have to pray, Father, is it your will that I have enough in my house to eat? Don't be stupid. Everyone say, I'm not stupid.
I'm not stupid.
I don't ever pray like that. From now on. See, you don't pray if it be thy will when it comes to the works of hell. That's what He came to stop. But the thing that He does want us praying is like Jesus prayed in the garden. Father, not my will. Thy will be done. What do you want with my life, Jesus? What do you want? Hallelujah. See, the only way I can't really answer your question that you asked me. But you're doing the right thing to find out. All the time that you have, you spend in with the Holy Ghost. We're going to cover that in a minute. He's the one that's going to come tell you. Unless He was to give me a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, I wouldn't know what to tell you anyway concerning what you should do. Y'all got that? Don't pray if it be His will when it comes to the works of hell. You don't have to pray like that. You just take authority over it in Jesus' name. Run it out of your garden. Okay? Get it out of your house. But now when it comes to God's plan for your life, that's where you need to spend the time praying, if it be thy will. Hallelujah. This will be even more clear in a minute. Even more clear. Hallelujah. Positive preaching. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The most important thing in your life is to find out what the plan, and I mean the mind of God, is for your individual life. Now get this. I love the songs you chose tonight. You will never find out without spending time with the Holy Spirit. Forget it. You're just not going to find out. You'll live and die your whole life and wonder what God wanted you to do on the earth. You'll never find out. He's the only one that knows. He's the only one that knows. Hallelujah. Understand this. Wherever God leads, God provides. Glory to God. Sue and I could give you testimony upon testimony. You've heard us preach it over two years now. Just by obeying precisely what He told us to do, He has abundantly supplied for us. I mean, where God leads, God provides. He takes the responsibility for you. Hallelujah. You can rest assured that the Lord will supply all of your needs as you endeavor to accomplish His plan for your individual life. I'm telling you now, Satan will resist you. How? Deception, doubt, circumstances, working through your emotions. But if you will hold fast to what the Lord told you personally, He will never, ever be able to defeat you. Page 2. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we're getting into the real hamburger part here now. I know this is a little tough. And I know we got some people in here that are some are younger than others in the Lord. But it's the truth. Everyone say it's the truth anyway. And I need to hear it. Hallelujah. It's absolutely crucial to understand that Jesus Christ, the Lord God, head of the church, has an exact plan for every single member's life. Now, I want you all to look at this passage. I don't know if you've ever really noticed this or not, but I want you to look at the specific information that Jesus gave the Apostle Peter. This is John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. Jesus talking to Peter, and He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest," that means dressed yourself, "and walked whither thou wouldst." That's King James. "But," now get this, "when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." Now, by the way, that's the same thing Jesus is saying to every single one of us. "Nathan, Nathan," the Lord's saying, "follow me, son." "Elizabeth, Elizabeth, follow me, daughter. Follow my plan for your life." See, that's what He's saying. Now, Peter learned a wealth of information from this time of being with the Lord. Look at this. He learned, number one, that he would not die young. See, because Jesus said, "When you're old." Well, that lets Peter know he's not going to die young, right? All right? He learned that he would die a martyr's death. He learned that he would die before the second coming of the Lord. Now do you guys understand why Peter could be sleeping so soundly the night before he was supposed to be put to death? Y'all remember the story? They had him chained between two Roman guards. They had him in prison. And he was asleep. And an angel came, you remember, and slapped him on the side and said, "Get dressed, put your sandals on." The chains fell off and the angel led him out of the prison. But how could Peter be sleeping there so soundly and peacefully when the next day they're going to cut his head off? Well, look. That he already knew. He was still young. The Lord already told him, "You're not going to die, Peter, till you're old." He knew he wasn't going to die. Jesus had already told him, "Peter, you're not going to die till you're an old man." Well, why not go to sleep, Mike? You already know you're not going to die tomorrow. You're young. And Jesus said, "You're not going to die till you're old." Okay? He knew he would not die at that age because the Lord had already told him that he would live to be an old man. But now, apparently, I mean, don't y'all love Peter? I relate to Peter. You know, he's always sticking his foot in his mouth. You know? Get this. He did it again. But the reason we all relate with him, he did ask the questions we all want to know. Apparently, however, when Peter found out he would die a martyr's death, he wasn't just real crazy about the idea. And look at this from John 21, verses 20 through 22. Well, then Peter, he turned around, and he seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following behind him, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Now, just so you'll know, John's talking about himself. That's just, you know. In other words, Peter looked around and says, he's looking at John, who was walking behind him. Jesus had, get the picture. Jesus had just said, Peter, you're going to die a martyr's death. You're not going to die young. You're going to live to be old. But you are going to die a martyr's death before I come back. And Peter goes, okay. But he looks around behind him to John, and he says to the Lord, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, and Lord, well, what's going to happen with John? I mean, what about him? And Jesus said, I mean, doesn't that sound, you know, Peter's so human. Yeah, Peter's so normal. And here it is, though. Jesus said unto him, Peter, if I will, that he lives, it says tarry, if he tarry till I come, if I will that he lives until I come, Peter, what's that to you? What is that to you? Peter, your job is one job and one job only. You follow me. Hallelujah. Now, isn't that something? Isn't that something?
My real name is Peter.
Is it? Well, follow Jesus, Peter. Now, notice I underlined the phrase when Jesus said, if I will. See, if I will. When it comes to the plan of God for our lives, the only thing that really matters is what the Lord wills. What does Jesus say? Okay? You know? I mean, do y'all understand? I could quit this, take a job in engineering in Omaha, make $75,000 a year, and the Lord would love me, and He would bless me all He could all the days of my life. But right on the other hand, I'd enter heaven pretty much empty-handed. Because I never would have fulfilled His will and His plan for my life. Can y'all see plainly He's got one? Do you understand He already knew what was going to happen in Peter's whole life? Did He have a plan, Jody? He knew, didn't He? He knew exactly about Peter's life, what was going to happen. Guess what, Sandra? He's got a plan for yours. And He knows exactly what it is. You know, it's funny. The Lord knows His own plan. Deep. Meditate on that. That's deep. See, when it comes to the plan of God for our lives, the only thing that really matters is what the Lord wills. Now, get this. This is the point. Peter would have never found out these things without spending time with the Lord. Get this. Neither will anybody else. Now, at that moment, Jesus was still on the earth. He was resurrected. He was in His glorified body, but Peter could walk right up to Him and talk with Him. Okay? But Jesus, we're going to look at here at a verse in a minute, He says, now when I leave, boys, I'm going to send you another comforter. And in the Greek, that word another means another exactly like me. Now when He comes, in fact, let's go ahead and skip on down. I've got the verse on here. John, see that one that says John 16, verses 13 and 14? He says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, He's going to guide you into all the truth. For He'll not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Now get this, just like Jesus was just now showing Peter things to come, wasn't He? He was showing Peter what was coming in his life. He says the Holy Ghost is going to do the same thing when He comes. He's going to show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. In plain old Pottawatomie County talk, He says, the Holy Ghost is going to come to Me to find out the plan for your life, and then He's going to come and He's going to show it to you. So you'll know. You don't have to be walking around in the dark. See, I don't have to be sitting here thinking anymore, does God want me to be an engineer in Omaha? No, I know He doesn't. He's already told me. I won't have to worry about that next week either. You see? But I do have to keep seeking Him for His will for this Bible study and whatever the next step of the ministry is. And how He wants me, you know, we got a call from a lady this week who heard about us from a friend in Arkansas. And bless her heart, she had enough gumption to call, you know. But she doesn't know us at all. And she says, This guy said I should call and ask for tapes. I'm not really know what exactly I'm asking for. You know, well, she had enough gumption to call, so, you know, Sue happened to take the call and talk with her a little bit. Well, now, I never even got to talk with the lady, and she didn't tell us anything much. Well, what can I do? I go in there, and I pray, because I know Jesus knows this lady. He knows everything about her. He knows exactly what her problems are. He knows what tapes she should get first. See? And I pray, and I ask the Lord. And I just trust God. I picked out four and sent to her. I say, I picked out after prayer, I picked out. And I believe they'll be the ones. Hallelujah. See? The Holy Ghost knows the plan. I have to seek Him for the plan, just like tonight. I've told y'all before, I've got over 700 lessons typed into my computer that the Holy Ghost has taught me over the years. Yeah, it's going to be a long night. Lock the doors. I'm going to teach them all. No. But I got over 700 of them in there. But I don't just go in on any Thursday and pick out lesson number 641. You know? No. God knows who's going to be here on any given Thursday night. He knows what every one of your problems are. He knows what He wants to say to you. My job is to pray and seek the Lord to find out His mind for this Thursday night. Amen? Hallelujah! Glory to God. Well, we'll back up. I read that verse there. Let's see. We'll start. Notice that I underline the phrase where Jesus said, "If I will." When it comes to the plan of God for our lives, the only thing that really matters is what the Lord wills. Peter would never have found out those things without spending time with the Lord, and neither will anybody else. Jesus knows. There's a real heavy thought now. That, boy, you ought to, if you underline anything, you ought to underline this. See? Heavy. Jesus knows His own plan for your life. I mean, that is so simple, but Louis, that is so profound. See, He is real. That's what He's trying to get across to us this year. The Lord Jesus Himself is alive. He has a plan for your life. He knows what city He wants you living in. He knows what job He wants you working at. He knows if He wants you in the ministry or even working in a secular job. He knows how many children you're going to have, Elizabeth. He knows your husband by name. He knows every hair on his head already. You understand what I'm saying? He has a plan. And He knows it from beginning to end. He knew when Peter was going to die and how he was going to die. Glory to God. So, if He has the plan, and He sent the Holy Spirit to reveal the plan, now where does that leave the responsibility, you guys? Yeah. Getting quiet in here. Daryl's got it right. He's over there pointing at his own chest. Perhaps, might me? Yeah. Because if you don't spend time with the Holy Ghost, you're not going to find out the plan any more than Peter would have if he hadn't spent time with Jesus. Spending time with the Holy Ghost, I'm getting ahead of myself. Doggone it, back up. Hallelujah. Most Christians are not very much interested in really following Him. Now that's really, if you want to know the real truth of the matter, there's the problem. I want to go to heaven, but I want to lead my own life. Thank you very much. Jesus, I appreciate the blood. I thank You for fire insurance. Because I sure don't want to go to hell. And it's God's goodwill. Hey, if you don't ever find out God's plan for your life, it's His good, you know, there's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God's goodwill is, dear God, at least get saved, man. Receive the blood, receive the free gift, the sacrifice. Don't go to hell and, you know, don't go to hell. That's God's goodwill. Just get saved and go to heaven. That's His goodwill. Get in that, dear God. But I'm not happy with that goodwill anymore. I'm not even happy with the acceptable. Well, I probably am, because I'm still not doing everything I know to do. So at this point, but I keep having friends die with cancer, and I'm getting less and less satisfied, Louis, to walk in the acceptable will. I'm getting really dissatisfied with that, because it's not God's will that my friends be dying of cancer. Do you understand that? That is a work of hell that Jesus came to destroy. Trouble is, there's hardly any Christians walking in enough power to stop it. Yours truly included. I'm including myself. Amen? You think you're God's man of great faith and power till you walk in and you see your friend for most of your life. And he looks like a skeleton with skin stretched over him. And all of faith just drains out your toes, you know. Because I'm so moved by what I see. Jesus already told us what the answer for that is. When his disciples came and said, why couldn't we cast that devil out? He says, because of your unbelief. But you're only going to cure that kind of unbelief with fasting and prayer. You only want to get faith, that kind of faith from him. Sorry. I only found out about an hour before Bible study that he died. It's Jake. Sorry. I'm getting real unhappy with the acceptable walk. I know I could continue like this, and Jesus will bless us and do all he can for us. But I'm getting real unhappy with the acceptable will of God. I want to get in that perfect will. If Jesus came to stop cancer, bless God, I want him to be able to do it through me. Help me, Lord. I've known Jake since before I could drive a car. This is hard. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Most Christians are not very much interested in really following him. They want to make all of their major life decisions on their own, based on their own will. They will never see much of the supernatural power of God in their lives, because they'll never graduate from being little children. See, that's the goodwill. Just be born again. Be a child. They'll never graduate from that to being mature sons. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature, grown up sons of God, ready for service in the kingdom. To be led by the Spirit of God means, it doesn't mean anything else either. To be led by the Spirit of God means to follow the exact plan of Jesus Christ for your individual life. If I was to move to Omaha and take that engineering job, don't be coming around telling me I'm following the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't be. I know what the Holy Ghost said. You could have 19 prophets, so-called, line up at my doorstep in Omaha and tell me I was in the perfect will of God, and I would know better because I've heard his voice. I know what he said. I know what he said. He is Lord, nobody else is. Don't be telling me you're led by the Spirit of God. And like Tony's saying so beautifully tonight, you're not spending any time with him. You are deceived. You're deceiving yourself. You're not either. You're not going to be following him next week either, or the next time I see you, until you start spending time with him. You're not going to find out the plan any other way. I don't know it for you. Michael doesn't know it, and Dave Roberson doesn't know it. The Holy Ghost knows it. He got it from Jesus, and he came for the express purpose of giving it to you. Hallelujah. And this is hard. Hey, we all have to contend with the flesh. I got so disgusted with myself Tuesday night because I knew the Lord was calling me to go pray for a while. And my flesh just rose up. And I just sat in here and watched television for a couple hours knowing that the Holy Ghost was saying, I want you to go pray, son. I got so disgusted with myself. I finally just went to bed at 8:30. I just so disgusted with myself. You know, thank God his mercies are new every morning. I woke up the next morning, I felt better. And I don't know why, except his mercy, you know. Thank God. Everyone say, thank God for the blood.
Thank God for the blood.
Listen, when you mess up like I did, that's sin, what I did Tuesday night. I mean, I'm not a child in the Lord. I know when he's telling me to go pray. See, and to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. I knew, see. But when you miss it, whether it's like that or you miss it some other way, I mean, that was a lapse to the flesh. I gave in to the flesh just as much as somebody who, you know, went and got drunk. You know, I mean, it's a lapse to the flesh. Listen, when you sin, where are you going to go? Is there some other God out there you're going to serve? Go to God. The blood's either going to be enough for you, or there's no hope for you anyway. Go to God. That's what what can I do the next day, Michael? Except, God, I missed it. I didn't just miss it. I openly sinned. I knew you wanted me to go pray. Father, forgive me. Please cleanse me by that blood. There's no other God I can go to. Where can I go? Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Gary. Straighten up or I'll smack you, boy. Hallelujah. Dad? No, I'm sorry. I love my dad. My dad loves me too. He that loves is, if you hate your child, you spare the rod. My dad loved me. Glory to God. Roman, that, you know, honestly, my dad never had to spank me over about 4 times in my life. God, I'm 50 years old and I still remember those 4 though. They were dandies. Hallelujah. Romans 8:14. Now here's the verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature sons of God. To be led by the Spirit of God means to follow the exact plan of Jesus Christ for your individual life. The plan, the mind of Jesus Christ, is precisely what the Holy Spirit is revealing to your spirit as you spend time praying in other tongues. That's exactly what He's doing. How would I have known to ask the Lord when I first started praying in tongues in the trucks? How would I have known to ask Him, Father, give me a ministry of teaching Bible study on Thursday nights? How would I have known to ask Him for that? There's no way I could have known in my mind. So what could I do except start praying in other tongues? The Holy Spirit knew the plan. Little by little, over a period of time, as I spent hours praying in other tongues, He began to show me. He began to show me. First of all, He began to equip me for the job. He started giving me all those 700 lessons. And He's still giving them to me today. He started equipping me for what was going to be coming. Little by little, my understanding changed and evolved. Till when He finally came and told me, there wasn't any doubt. Now it's just a matter of obeying. I didn't have to guess anymore what He wanted me to do. I knew what He wanted me to do. We haven't done this in a while, and I think it's good for you every once in a while. Everyone hold out your right arm just like that. Take your left hand. Pat that arm. Is that solid? Can you feel that? Everyone say with me, Jesus is more real, than my right arm. Now, boy, that's the truth. I'm telling you. He is the Creator of all things. Without Him was nothing made that is made. The Creator is always more real than the created. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Where were I? Okay, John. Here's that verse again. John 3:16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatever He hears, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come, Sean. He's going to show you, son, if you spend time with Him. He's already started. He will glorify Me, Jesus says. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Now here's the action part. This is really all you can do. We're basically talking about 2 areas tonight. One, okay, there are 2 arenas of life to be wise in when it comes to knowing God's will for you. The first one we talked about. Know what you have been redeemed from. You don't have to fast and pray to find out if it's God's will for you to be healthy. It's God's will. Get it straight. See? I put it like this on here. It says, from the Word of God. From the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to find out what He thinks about sickness? You get in the Word. You're going to find out, it says, by His stripes ye were healed. Himself bare your sicknesses and carried your pains. Hallelujah. You're going to find out, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I shall bless thy bread and thy water and take sickness away from the midst of thee. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Now, I don't care how many preachers line up to tell you otherwise. That's the truth and nothing else is. You don't have to pray and fast to find out what God's will is for your healing. In the same way, He bore the curse of poverty. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, that I, through His poverty, might be rich. I don't care how many preachers line up around the block to tell you, God doesn't want you to have stuff. They're liars. The Word says, my God, they're trying to steal your benefits. All of you on the job, if they come and took away your health plan, they're messing with your benefits, aren't they? Well, the devil, he's always coming trying to steal your health plan. he's trying to steal your benefits. He's coming. He's trying to take away your money. Everything, see? He's messing with your benefits. That's why in Psalms 103, isn't it? What is it? Anyway, one of them. He says, forget not all his benefits. Man, you can tell when he's messing with your benefits. Don't let the devil mess with your benefits. Hallelujah. Glory. Okay, know what you have been redeemed from. From the Word of God. Find out everything that Jesus paid the price for you to be free from. Do not let Satan convince you that sin, sickness, disease, poverty, depression, anger, wrath, malice, gossip, and I could have gone on and on and on, but I ran out of page, and so forth, are the will of God for you. It's not either. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. All of that stuff. Okay? Recognize that Jesus bore all of the curse for you on the cross, and Satan has no right to put any of these things on you. One thing you'll find out about the apostles, you know, if you've heard Dave preach, all 12 of them, and including Paul, all 12 of them were martyred, except the apostle John. John lived out his entire life. But the rest of them are all martyred, okay, for the Lord. But did you ever notice not one of them died of sickness? See, Satan could not come directly to their spirit and kill them with cancer because they knew. They're not going to allow a work of hell like that to come against them. They're not going to do it. See? Not one of them died of sickness. All of them were martyred at the hands of man. Why? As a witness. As a witness. And they knew when their time was there. Paul, you can read it in his letters. He says, I know. I know that my time is here. Peter, you can read in his. I know. They knew when it was time. See, Peter didn't have to worry when he was young. He was finally old. And the Holy Spirit revealed to him to the point he wrote it in his letter. I know that my departure is at hand. I know. It's time now. You know. Paul knew. He said, if my life be poured out now as a sacrifice, something like that. He knew that the time had come. See. There was another letter before that when he says, well, I don't know if I want to go or stay. I don't have to, you know, I just can't hardly decide. Well, I guess I'll stay for your sake. For him, it was better to depart and be with the Lord. But he says, for your sake, I guess I'll stay. But when he knew that his time was gone, and I want to read this again, something that the Holy Spirit said in that prophecy. It says, when my servant Paul breathed his last breath, as the knife descended upon him, joy unspeakable and full of glory. It was joy unspeakable and full of glory, for he was already in my presence before the knife fell. It is my joy that sustains you, says the Lord. My joy is your strength. My joy comes as you understand my will for you, my personal will for you. My understanding, my Father's plan for me, was the joy that sustained me through the cross. It was that joy that sustained me, says the Lord. Hallelujah. We're, you know, Sue and I are human beings living in flesh and blood bodies, you know. We get tired physically. Some days you're just, you know, in the natural, some days you're just more up than you are other days. You know? I mean, there's days when I want to put a big sign on the door. No, you know, so you guys can read it when you get here on Thursday night. Thursday night Bible study canceled, gone to the movies. You know? In natural, our flesh, you get tired. You know, we got three cats and a dog that live in this house besides us human beings, you know. They're messy. You know, it takes a lot. You know, we have to vacuum everything in this house. Cat hair is everywhere. Michael says, well, one thing about it, I mean, even though he doesn't own any cats, he has cat hair at his house. Why? Because he comes to our place on Thursday nights and takes it home on his clothes, you know. And that's after we vacuum. But see, you're not going to find a note like that. Why? The joy of the Lord. I know what His plan is. I know what He wants us to be doing. So my body may say, man, you don't want to vacuum. You don't want to get in there and pray. You don't want to type these lessons. Ah, but the joy of the Lord. I know what He said. Pleasing Him is more precious to me. Doing what He wants is more precious to me than you know, going to the movies or anything like that. And I pray to God it gets more so that way. I want to get to the point where I'm like Peter and I'm like Paul, where, Lord, whatever you want me to do here, that's great. But if I can come be with you, that's better. Now that's when you lose all the fear of death. And then man, nor the devil, neither one, has any control over you then. You're unmanageable then, you know.
Amen. Glory.
You're just unmanageable. I got to show you one other one since we have time. Go to 2 Corinthians if you have your Bible. Chapter 1. You know the verse we quote all the time in Revelations, we usually leave off the last part. How many of y'all like this? It say, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." Amen. Y'all like that? Hallelujah. Let's say it together. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Now see, the rest of that verse says, "And I love not my life unto death." Oh. I didn't want to say that part. Yeah, you overcome. That's what the verse actually says, is they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Well, what does that mean? Well, let me show you from the Apostle Paul's life. I'm not saying we're there. I don't think God, to be honest with you, is calling anybody in this room to be a martyr. I really don't. I think He is calling every one of you to find out what His plan for your life is and get with the program.
Amen.
That's what I think.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You come back every week. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll just start in verse 8. And he's writing to the Corinthian church, and he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. And we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now, stop for a minute. Get the picture. They went into Asia to preach the gospel. And I mean the devil let that strong man come in there and stirred up the people, to the point that they were rioting. And Paul says, it got so bad, we thought they were going to kill us. We despaired even of life. It looked to us like we were going to die. Thank God, in this country, I don't suffer that kind of persecution for teaching a Thursday night Bible study. And, in China, I would, even today. Even today, I would, see? But Paul was suffering it, and he says, man, we were wondering whether we were even going to live or not. So he asked the Lord about it. Now get this. This is the part I wanted you to see. Verse 9. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead." Now, what is Paul saying there? The key is in that word where it says sentence. We had the sentence. If you look that up in the Greek, it means the answer. And it gives the picture like this. If you could picture Paul being maybe a sergeant in God's army, and he's going, boy, we're in a big war here. I better ask up line to the general what we're supposed to do. What do you want us to do? You want us to hold our ground? You want us to retreat? What do you want us to do here? That's what he's doing here. He's saying, Jesus, what? I mean, this is bad. If we stay here, we could die. And you know the answer that he got back from the Lord? Death. Stay. Don't retreat. Stay. Now, Paul is writing us this letter, so we know he didn't die there. He's talking about something that's already happened. But the answer from the Lord was, no, I want you to stay, Paul, even if they kill you. Now, why could Paul do that? Look at the rest of the verse, verse 9. Why did Jesus tell him that? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. You know what Jesus was telling him? He's saying, Paul, don't worry about it. You're right in my perfect will, son. I know the devil's stirring all this up. They may stone you to death, but go ahead and stay there. I'll raise you from the dead.
Glory,
glory to God. Hallelujah. But you don't understand. I need Jesus to help me make my car payment Friday. Can I trust God to help me make my car payment Friday? If you get in His perfect will, you can. Paul says he'll raise you from the dead if you're in his will.
Wow.
I think that really happened at Lystra. Y'all know the story where they came out and stoned Paul, drug him out of the city, and left him for dead. Y'all remember that? Now, it doesn't exactly say, but it says that that he was left for dead. They thought he was dead anyway. And it says the other disciples came and stood around him. Well, you know what they were doing? They're praying. And Paul got up. Guess where he went? Run off. Went back into the city. I'm not through preaching yet.
Wow.
Glory to God. Now, when you start getting that kind of relationship with the real Jesus, Daryl, think about it. What if Jesus said, Daryl, I want you to rent a little hall down at Stigler. And I want you to go down there and I want you to preach on the baptism and the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues. Now, I don't know anything about Stigler. I just picked that. I don't know why that name came to my mind. But you tell the Lord, say, Lord, I happen to know that everybody in that town believes tongues is of the devil. You want me to go to Stigler and preach the baptism? Lord, they may shoot me. Lord, are you sure? I'm asking you, General. I'm your sergeant. I'm asking you. You want me to go to Stigler? What if they... Stigler, Oklahoma. You want me to go to Stigler and preach? And preach that? Lord, what if they shoot me down there? He says, now go ahead and preach it. If they shoot you, Daryl, don't worry about it. I'll raise you up from the dead. Now, you can have that kind of relationship with the Lord. If Paul had it, we can have it. Paul lives in the same dispensation we do. See, I like listening to Paul because he's a little bit different from Peter. Peter got to walk with the Lord in the flesh. We have no record that Paul ever did. Paul was taught by the same teacher we have, the Holy Ghost. In fact, the Holy Ghost came and told me one time, he says, son, if you'll spend time with me, you can know me as well as Paul knew me, who knew me better than Peter. Now, isn't that something? And then I said, you have to give me scripture for that. And he says, sure. And he took me to the... Well, he didn't say sure. He just took me to the book of Acts. Took me to the book of Acts, I think it is, where Paul had to go and rebuke Peter to his face because Peter was putting on airs. He was starting to act like a Jew because the main apostles were coming from Jerusalem. And Paul had to go and say, why are you acting like this when you know that the law has already been over with? You already know that, and yet you're putting on airs. Paul knew Jesus better than Peter to the point that God used Paul to straighten Peter out. Yet Peter had walked with the Lord physically, and Paul never had. But see, you can know Jesus as well as Paul, who knew Jesus better than Peter, because you had the same teacher, the same Holy Spirit. Is that good stuff or what? Glory to God. Let me see if there's anything else. I think that's about it. Okay, a little bit more. Let me read that again. Know what you have been redeemed from. From the Word of God, find out everything that Jesus paid the price for you to be free from. Do not let Satan convince you that sin, sickness, disease, poverty, depression, anger, wrath, malice, gossip, and so forth are the will of God for you. Recognize that Jesus bore all of the curse for you on the cross. Satan has no right to put any of these things on you. Now, when it comes to these things, here's your verse, 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Thursday night Bible study, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, get this part, don't miss it. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. That doesn't mean go and pray little mamby-pamby prayers. Oh, Father, if it be thy will, please heal our brother. Oh, Lord. No, he says don't do that. He says resist steadfast in the faith. You foul, unclean, tormenting spirit bringing sickness into my brother Andy. Come out of him in Jesus' name. I curse the root of this thing. You'll die and take all your symptoms with you. Glory to God. Resist steadfast, it says. Steadfast in the faith. You don't have to be there, oh, Father, if it be thy will, when it comes to that kind of stuff. You got that part straight? It said, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What he's saying is, what do you think? Just because Andy got sick, he's something special? The devil's trying to make all of you sick. He made me sick about a week ago. Made me mad. All that does is make me madder anymore. Got to get in and get more prayer. Got to get in and get to know Him better. That was the first time in several years He'd been able to attach Himself to my body. I didn't like it one bit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Item two. Okay, so on that part, understand what the will of the Lord is. Anything you've been redeemed from, don't be praying mamby-pambies if it be thy will prayers. Stop that. That's stupid. Be wise, not stupid. Now, item two. Spend time with the Holy Spirit by praying in other tongues. And He will show you exactly what the plan of Jesus Christ is for your life. That's how you find out. That's why He came, is to show you that. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that?
Amen.